The sugi of halsik, the mitzvah potim, the mitzvah is in sukkah. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk, b'shivtcha b'veisecha, b'shivtcha b'sheves didach, lafuki, someone who's osek b'shamayim, in mitzvahs. The person who's osek in mitzvahs is exempt from another mitzvah. And here we want to present a major machlokas rishonim. We'll call it Tosfos against the Ran, right there in Sukkah Chaf Hei, but it's really Tosfos and many other rishonim against the Ran and the Arzarua and others. The main issue, the main question is as follows. What happens in a situation where I've begun to implement a mitzvah, I'm osek b'mitzvah, but yet at the same time, I can do a second mitzvah. There's room to juggle both. That's called efshar l'kayim shtehen. And Tosfos and many Rishonim are of the opinion that there's no logic to exempt him from a second mitzvah since he can fulfill both. And therefore we suspend the principle of osek b'mitzvah, potim b'mitzvah, if it's efshar l'kayim shtehen. And Tosfos illustrates this with the case of someone who's wearing a talis, or he's wearing tzitzis, he's wearing tefillin on his head. And should we say, therefore, that he's potim in a mitzvah? Imagine back in the day when people wore tefillin during the course of the entire day. You know, it doesn't go back that many centuries. My father, may rest in peace, used to tell us about his maternal grandfather that he doesn't remember him without tefillin. And my father was 12 when he left Litha. So let's say a person is wearing tefillin the whole day. Does that mean he's potter from all mitzvahs? And certainly for all of us, we're wearing tzitzis the whole day. Are we potter in a mitzvah? Ella says, tells us the answer is we're chayav in mitzvahs because it's efshar l'kayim shtehem. When there's a conflict, when it's efshar l'kayim shtehem, I can't do both mitzvahs, A and B, at the same time. Then I choose A because A gets priority insofar as I started with A. That's called osek b'mitzvah. And therefore, he's potter in a mitzvah. But in the case where he can do both, then certainly he's obligated to do both. The Ran disagrees, together with Arzarua and maybe other Rishonim. And in their opinion, according to that school of thought, if he can be Makayim both of them, then nevertheless, he's still potter from the second one. But the condition is that he's osek in the first mitzvah. So according to the Ran, we'll label it the Shitas Ran, osek b'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. Even if the second mitzvah could be fulfilled simultaneous at no loss to the first mitzvah. Nevertheless, there's a separate halacha that you're potter from in a mitzvah. However, the case of tzitzis, or tefillin, is different because there you're not an osek b'mitzvah. You're not actively involved in the mitzvah. You're in a passive state of being. So it comes out the following. According to Tosfos, osek b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah, is only in a case where you can't do both. So you've started the first mitzvah, finished the job. You have time later to pick up the second mitzvah, fine, you don't, but that's irrelevant. You're potim in a mitzvah. Why? Because it's impossible to do the second mitzvah. You can juggle both, efshar l'kayim shtehem, then you chayev indeed in both mitzvahs. The Ran, on the other hand, says even though, despite the fact that you are able to fulfill both mitzvahs, it's efshar l'kayim shtehem, nevertheless there's a new halacha of osek b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah, as long as you're an osek b'mitzvah. Tosfos has no right, he has no proof text, for the case of tefillin and tzitzis, because in those cases, you're not an osek b'mitzvah, you're not actively involved in a mitzvah. The Ran holds that once you come under the category, you can be described as an osek b'mitzvah, then automatically you're potter in a mitzvah, even though the second mitzvah can be juggled and fulfilled simultaneously with the first mitzvah. The Ran adduces two proofs to his conclusion. The first proof is from a very famous sugi in Perek HaKones in Bava Kama, which is called Shomer Aveda. I find in Aveda, the Torah says, the Torah commands me in Parashas Ki Tetze, V'asafta el toch beitecha. You have to take this Aveda into your house, and you have to guard it properly. And the Gemara establishes in Bava Kama that if an ani, a poor person, knocks on your door while you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, then you, in this case, you're potter from giving a pruta liani. And that, by the way, according to Rabban, the Gemara jacks up the status of a Shomer Aveda to that of a Shomer Sachar. He's really, in a sense, gaining money by virtue of his Shmirah, because he saves himself pruta to Rav Yosef. He saves himself paying. That's according to Rav Yosef, excuse me. I mentioned Rabban. Rabban disagrees. But according to Rav Yosef, the Shomer Aveda saves himself the pruta of the Ani. Frek the Ran, I don't understand. Why can't he take a little bit of a break while he's watching the Aveda and give a pruta to an Ani? How long does it take him to dig his hands into his pocket and give a pruta to the Ani and then go back to the Shomer Aveda? No tragic loss will come to the Aveda. Imagine if the Aveda is an inanimate object. So you're locking it up and you're watching it. Okay, so you're guarding the Aveda, but now you can dig into your pocket and give a pruta to an ani. Even if it's an animal that you're watching in order to return it to its owner, still, nevertheless, you can give the pruta to the ani without jeopardizing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. That's case number one. Says the Ran, you see from Shomer Aveda that despite the fact that it's Efshel Lekayim Shteim, we still implement the principle of Osek V'mitzvah Potim Nitzu. Whereas Tosis is in a bind over here, because Tosis says that if I can juggle the two, then I'm obligated in both, and I don't apply and activate the principle of Osek V'mitzvah Potim Nitzu. But the Ran has a second proof. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Brachos, in the third perek, that if a person is involved in digging what's called a kuch. Maybe you've heard of a kuch. You know, in the old days, they used to bury people in caves or in... Anyway, he's involved in preparing the place of burial for the dead. And the Gemara establishes that he's potter from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. He doesn't have to read Kriyat Shema. Why? Because Osek mitzvah, potter the mitzvah. Frek the Ran, I don't understand. How long of a break does he have to take from digging this hole in the ground in order to read Kriyat Shema? Okay, if he says it with a lot of kavana, so it takes him 5 minutes. For most of us, you know, we could probably finish it in 2 minutes. So he takes a 2 minute break. Nishkefelach, nothing tragic is going to happen. The dead will be buried. So therefore, it's a classical case of Efshel Lekayim Shteim, and nevertheless, the Gemara applies the principle of Osek V'mitzvah, Potur V'mitzvah. Hence, we derive the conclusion, and these two proofs are going to be very difficult for Tosfos, that even in a case of Efshel Lekayim Shteim, we still exempt you from the second mitzvah, because you're Osek in the first mitzvah. You're actively involved in guarding the Aveda, you're actively involved in digging the kuch for the mess, and therefore, even though at no great loss you could have taken a break and fulfilled the second mitzvah, whether it's pruta liani, whether it's kriyat shema, nevertheless, you're potter for those mitzvahs. Because osek b'mitzvah potter min a mitzvah applies even when it's efshel lekayim shteim. Now, my friends, I want to add another point over here, because I actually believe that we can offer a very simple explanation to the machlokes between Tosfos and the Ran. This explanation is famous. It's attributed to the Stipler Gaon, to the Kilos Yaakov, in Masechta Brachos. And he says the following. We have a principle in halacha called ones rachmana patri. What you can't do, you can't do. If there are extenuating circumstances, you can't fulfill a mitzvah, the Torah says you're exempt from that mitzvah. That's called ones rachmana patri. Says the Kilos Yaakov, Tosfos identifies osek b'mitzvah with ones rachmana patri. Why is osek mitzvah potter min a mitzvah? Simply because He's involved in a mitzvah. He cannot fulfill the other mitzvah. So the Torah exempts him and alleviates him from his responsibility vis-a-vis the second mitzvah. Therefore, says the Kilus Yaakov, if it's a case of Efshel L'Kayim Shteihen, he could juggle both, as we said before. There's no Ptur of Onus over here. He's not in a state of Onus. The Ran, on the other hand, had a different understanding. The Ran did not believe for one moment that Osik B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah is just another example, another application of the universal principle of Onus. But rather, the Ran understood that this Halacha of Osek B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah introduces a brand new breakthrough principle that says that if he's Osek B'mitzvah, he's completely Potter from another mitzvah. Not the way Tosfos would say he just cannot fulfill the other mitzvah. His arms, his hands are tied because he's so busy and preoccupied with the first mitzvah. No! Says the Ran, Potter min ha-mitzvah. The Ran understands that al-pi-din, the Torah created a ptur from that second mitzvah. And how far-reaching, how extensive is that ptur, says the Ran? It's absolute. You're involved with one mitzvah, you're obligated in that mitzvah, you don't pick up any other obligations. The Torah did not obligate a person in two mitzvahs simultaneously. Yair, I see just the head over there. Can you? Ah, now we're talking. Okay. Gevaldi. Alright, you see, now somebody else joined the shiur. Alright. So the Kilus Yaakov has a beautiful presentation here. Again, let's just review it in one word. The Tosfos Shita is that Osik Mitzvah equals Onus. The Ran Shita is that Osik Mitzvah engenders a Ptur. You don't pick up the second Chiyuv, and the Nafka Mitzvah is going to be Efshel L'Kayim Shteihen. But the Kilus Yaakov adds another piece. He says the following. There's a fundamental machlokes between the Drisha and the Taz regarding the Halacha of Tashlumin. We know the halacha is that if a person does not daven in the onas hatfilah, then in the very next ona, he has to daven a second Shmon Esrei to make up for the first that he missed. That's called tashlum. However, the Gemara says that at least in one case, we don't obligate someone who missed tefillah in the chiyuv of tashlumin, and that's the case of an onen, Rachmana Litzlan, a person who has to bury his dead. He's exempt from tefillah, and he doesn't pick up the chiyuv of tashlumin after the mess is buried when he starts sitting shiv. What's the machlokus between the drisha and the taz? What happens in the case of oskim b'tzarchei tzibur? The Gemara has a whole sugya about those who are dedicated to communal work. For example, Pidyon Shvuyim, they're out there trying to spare someone from and free someone from captivity. They're potter from tefillah. And what happens now in the next ona after they terminate their obligation of oskim b'tzarchei tzibur? Do they now have to daven a second Shmon Esrei Tashlumin to make up for the one they missed? So it comes out like this. The Drisha, and the Shach agrees with the Drisha, the Magen Avraham agrees with the Drisha, that we should equate and identify the case of Oskim B'Tzarchei Tzibur with the case of an Onen who's involved in the burial of his dead. In both cases, the halacha is that there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin. However, the Taz says the following. You are chayav in tashlumin. It's not like the case of an onen. The onen doesn't have to be mashlim his tefillah. That's a special case because the onen is so dedicated to the dead, to bury the dead, that's called kvodo shomes, that kvodo shomes has the power to knock off any other mitzvahs. Kvodo shomes is a high-powered chiyuv that trumps any other chiyuv. But with the exception of Kvodo Shomes, we cannot upgrade any other mitzvah to a level that goes beyond Osek B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. Which means that basically, even though an Osek B'mitzvah he's still chayev in the second mitzvah. Potim in a mitzvah really means that we can't expect him and obligate him to implement the mitzvah, but the chiyuv is there. Says the Stipler, this machlokes between the drisha and all those who agree with the drisha on the one hand and the Taz on the other, it is identical to the machlokas between Tosus and the Ran regarding Oskim, Osek the mitzvah, Potim the mitzvah. Meaning the following. If we take the approach of the Ran, and the Ran says Osek the mitzvah, Potim the mitzvah, which means you don't become chayim in the second mitzvah, because this askus the mitzvah prevents, there's no room for a chiyuv to be chal on the same, at the same time, on the same person. Then we should accept the shita of the drisha and those who agree with the drisha that oseik b'tzarchei tzibur is not chayim in tashlumin. The chiyuv tashlumin only applies when you missed an ona that you were chayim in tefillah. In this case, because you are oseik b'tzarchei tzibur or any oseik b'mitzvah for that matter, there is no chiyuv of tefillah. You are single-mindedly dedicated to that mitzvah, let's say Tzarchei Tzibur, and now you're potter from any other mitzvah. Says the Ran, a ptur. A ptur means there's no other chiyuv that's incumbent upon you. When do we apply the halach of Tashlumin? That's when you had a chiyuv and you didn't live up to the chiyuv. Perhaps you weren't deliberate about that, it was unintentional, you were shogeng, but nevertheless you had a chiyuv and you didn't fulfill that chiyuv. If you didn't live up to your chiyuv tefillah, we have a second obligation to replace the first, and that's called tashlumin. Not so, says the Ran, the way the Stipler would understand the Ran, anticipating what the Ran would say about the chiyuv tashlumin, in a case where you are oseik b'mitzvah, and therefore you're potter from another mitzvah. In other words, tefillah was not obligatory. You were a gavra la bar chiyuv in this particular circumstance. Since you don't pick up the chiyuv, then there's no tashlumin. Masha Enkin, if we take the approach of Tosfos according to the Stipler, that Tosfos identifies osik mitzvah potter mitzvah as ones. These are circumstances beyond my control, but in truth, I'm chayv in the second mitzvah. There's no separate halacha of ptur. Just that my hands are tied and I can't fulfill and implement the second mitzvah, unless it's Efshel Kaim Shteyan. Then, in the case of someone who's Oseik B'Tzarchei Tzibur, he really is Chayav. The Chayav lurks in the shadows. It doesn't jump at him during the period of that Ona because he's dedicated for the entire Ona to Tzarchei Tzibur. But as soon as he gets to the next Ona, correct, now he starts with a new Chayav, but the old Chayav. I'm sorry. What I meant to say is the following, that according to the Taz, the Oseik B'Tzarchei Tzibur is Chayav in the Tefillas Tashlumin. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He's Chayav in the Tefillas Tashlumin. Says the Stipler, let's identify the Taz with the Shita of the Tosfos, that Oskim Oseik B'Mitzvah Potemitzvah is only because he can't juggle both. It's the Efshel Kaim Shteyan. And if it's Efshel Kaim Shteyan Menoch Nam Yechayev, it means that there's no separate new halacha ptur, and Oseik Mitzvah's potter from mitzvah prevents the second chiyuv being chal, simply your anus. Ah, if your anus and the chiyuv is chal, then in the case of Oseik B'mitzvah or Oseik B'tzarchei Tzibur, your chayev in tefillah, now in tashlumin, your chayev in tashlumin.
In general, if somebody's ones and they miss davening, are they chayv in tashlumin? Is that true in general?
That could be another issue, but if we identify ones as someone who's chayev in the midst of tefillah, then Anachinami, he would have to pick up tashlumin. The Stipler in this context is assuming, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that ones is considered chayev, just that he's onus, meaning he doesn't have the ability to implement his chiyuv. Okay then? Okay. I'm just going to, just for a minute. Okay, great. Now, let's move on. How do we paskin in this machlokes between the drisha and his group and a tas. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah codifies this at the end of Siman Tzadik Gimel, that the drisha is correct. So la halacha, we're in the following bind, so to speak. We have on the one hand Shitas HaTosfos, which the Kilos Yaakov identifies as ones, but he's chayav in the second mitzvah. On the other hand, in the case of Oskim B'Tzarchei Tzibur, we're going to paskin that he's not chayav in Tashlumin. So from the stipler's perspective, we have one of two choices. Either we have to somehow rack our brains and reconcile this, which I don't know how. The stipler presumes that they're absolutely analogous. Or alternatively, we're going to have to say that we reject the sheet of Tosfos and we accept the sheet of the Ran. The flip side of saying that is that Tosfos could never accept the sheet of the Drisha, because Tosfos, insofar as he identifies Osik B'mitzvah, Patim B'mitzvah as Ones, therefore he would have to institute a Tfilas Tashlumin for those who are busy with one mitzvah. And that, shall I say, is very dark. But the truth is that the plot grows even thicker. Because the famous proponent of Shitas HaTosfos is the Ritva. The Ritva in Masechta Sukkah is of the opinion that if Efshel Lekayim Shteihen Yechayev, like Tosfos, not like the Ran. But then the Ritva continues and asks the obvious question. If Osik B'mitzvah, Potem B'mitzvah only applies in the case of E.F. Sholokayim Shneim, where it's impossible to fulfill the second mitzvah, then why do I need a pasuk to derive and establish that Osik B'mitzvah, Potem B'mitzvah? Like, what would I think? I started a mitzvah. Should I drop that mitzvah for the sake of the second mitzvah? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Logically, what would compel me to do such a thing? So why do I need a pasuk, a libudi alfusa, b'shivtcha v'secha, to establish the principle of osek v'mitzvah potemitz? Why would I think otherwise? Says the Ritva, that I might have thought that in such a scenario, in such a situation where I started a mitzvah, but now I'm chayv in a second mitzvah, I can make my own personal shikul hadas and decide what exactly I should do. What should be my implementation? Should I drop the first mitzvah and pick up the second mitzvah? You know, maybe the second mitzvah is more exciting for me. What should I do in this case? Says the Ritva, the kamashmalan here is that the Torah is robbing you of that option. Since you're osik b'mitzvah, there's no other alternative. You're absolutely barred from picking up the second mitzvah. You cannot drop the first mitzvah. Now, this Ritva would seem to indicate, and I'll tell you why, that Osek B'mitzvah is potter from the second mitzvah. How do I see this in the Ritva? The Ritva assumes that if a person would violate the rule of Osek B'mitzvah potter the mitzvah and decide to drop the first mitzvah and implement the second mitzvah, he would not be able to be motzi acherim yidei chovasa. He's not considered a gavra bar chiyuva. And not only that, the Achronim, like the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Ayin, they all claim that according to the Ritva, if he would pick up the second mitzvah and drop the first, it would be a brachal of Atala. He doesn't have the ability to say Asher Kitshonu Mitzvosu Vitzivonu. Just like he can't be motzi anyone. And the Ritva's language that indicates this to be true is that the second mitzvah, he achshav etzlo kidavar shel rishus. Meaning it doesn't have the status of a mitzvah. It's quite clear, crystal clear I would say, that the Ritva is operating with the assumption that osik b'mitzvah is a p'tur. That he's not obligated in the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah, says the Ritva, is for him like a reshus. He can't be motzi acherim, he can't make a brach, he doesn't have the option of implementing the second mitzvah. And if he goes ahead and he does so, karov lios, it would seem from the Ritva, that he's not fulfilling any mitzvah because he wasn't obligated in the mitzvah. And therefore, we're stuck in a bind here, according to the stipler. Because again, the stipler says that Shitas HaTosfos, that if Efshel Kayim Shteim, Yechayev in the second one as well, and you have to juggle both, is identified with the Shita, the Svar of Ones, meaning that he's Chayev in the second mitzvah. In the case of Tashlumin, it'll be Chayev in Tashlumin. The Ritva adopts the Shita of Tosfos and says that Efshel Kayim Shteim, you're Chayev in both mitzvahs. And nevertheless, the Ritva says that you're potter from the second mitzvah in a case of EF Shalakayim Shtehen, and you're potter to the extent that the second mitzvah doesn't exist. It's not in the radar screen. Which is the Shita that the stipler identifies with the Ran. Meaning, according to the stipler, it's Haba Atalia. You have to decide in Osik B'mitzvah whether there is a Chiyuv for the second mitzvah, just set your Anus, or whether there's no chiyuv whatsoever, there's a din of ptur. That's what you have to decide. That's Tosfos in the Ran. And therefore, the Nafkamina is going to be Tfilas Tashlum. But clearly, as we pointed out before in the stipler, according to Tosfos, that it's only a din of honest, but Yechayim in the second mitzvah, Yechayim in Tashlumin. How could the Ritva there, who adopts the sheet of Tosfos, and says, if it's Efshel L'Kayim Shteyen, Yechayiv in both, which the stipler reduces to Anus, meaning you're not an Anus if you can fulfill both, and therefore we suspend the principle of Osik B'mitzvah, when the same Ritva says that you're parted from the second mitzvah. So Rav Bolzai, let's just summarize three questions that we have. First of all, in the context of Tosfos, we don't understand how Tosfos is going to explain two cases. One case is Pruta de Rav Yosef, when a person is actively involved in Hashavas Aveda, he's not called upon to take a break and give a Pruta to the Oni. And the other case is he's digging a grave and he can't take a break in order to read Kriyat Shema. Why is that so, according to Tosfos? It's clearly Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Question number two, we find that we paskin that a person who's Osek B'mitzvah is potter from Tashlumin, like the Drisha. That's how we codify the Halach. That would clearly indicate, and there's no reason to box Tosfos out of this, because he would probably pass it the same way, that you're absolutely potter from the second mitzvah. Well, that, according to the stipler, we should identify with the Ran. How is Tosfos going to square with that psak in which we accept the halacha like the Drisha? And finally, what do we do with the Ritva? The Ritva, on the one hand, adopts the sheet of the position of Tosfos that if it's Efshel L'Kayim Shteyem, it's Chayev, and we don't apply the principle of Osik B'mitzvah Potter Mitzvah. And yet at the same time, the Ritva insists that he's not Chayev in the second mitzvah. That Osik B'mitzvah engenders a new Chal Hashem Ptur in which the second mitzvah doesn't register, doesn't generate a chiyuv at all. Now, if you have these pages, I want you to take a look at the second page that I sent you, which may have a 6 on the bottom. And right there, smack in the middle of the page. And what we're going to see in this essay, Rav Ozer is going to suggest a whole new pshat in the machlokes between Tosfos and the Ran about Efshel L'Kayim Shteyen. And he's going to completely avoid the Kilos Yaakov. And hopefully we'll see that this will project us further towards our goal of understanding the Machlokes between Tosfos and the Ran. Everybody agrees, even Tosfos, that Osek B'mitzvah, Potter B'mitzvah is a Ptur. It knocks off the second Chiyuv. And that we saw clearly in the Ritva. And that we saw clearly in the case of Oskim B'tzarchei Tzibur according to the Drisha. And the way we pass them like the Drisha. Even Tosfos would agree to the Ran's position that Osek B'mitzvah Potter Ben HaMitzvah. What then is the issue that lies at the heart of this controversy between Tosfos and the Ran? Tosfos understands that when we ask the question, why is it that you're potter from the second mitzvah? What engenders? What's the source, the goram the cause of being parted from the second mitzvah. Why is it that the second mitzvah is not incumbent upon you? The answer to that question lies in the first mitzvah. What we're going to do is, we're going to, just to dramatize it, we're going to give the first mitzvah a name. It's Mr. Mitzvah. In other words, the mitzvah has a personality to it. It has a demand. It comes to a legal court of law and puts forth a claim. The first mitzvah says, you know what? I have a claim over here. I came first. In halachic terms, that's called kedima. The halacha is that if there's a din kedima to mitzvah A, then the second mitzvah is not chal. The second chova doesn't generate itself. That's the sheet of Tosus. Says Tosus the following. When do we give the first mitzvah din kedima? Because of this askus b'mitzvah. You're involved in the first mitzvah. And now a second mitzvah comes along. And you'll have to drop the first mitzvah in order to pick up the second mitzvah. There's no chiyuv for the second mitzvah, no mitzvah at all. Why? Because kedim. If it's efshel l'kayim shteihen, if you can continue your hisaskus in the first mitzvah and at the same time fulfill the second mitzvah, then the first mitzvah has no claim to kedima. The first mitzvah only has a right to claim kedima and be protected by the law of kedima insofar as you would have to drop the hisaskus with the first mitzvah in order to implement the second mitzvah. But if you don't have to drop the hisaskus and you can fulfill the second mitzvah simultaneously and you're osek in shtei mitzvahs, then the first mitzvah loses, drops its claim to kedima. If this is the pshat in Tosfos, let's see how the pieces of the puzzle could fit into place. Let's take, for example, the case of Pruta de Rav Yosef. It's true, the Ran is 100% correct, that you could take a break from Shmiras HaAveda, give the Ani a Pruta, and get back to Shmiras HaAveda without any great loss. Oh, no. You're potter from the second mitzvah. You know why? Because you will have to interrupt the first mitzvah in order to fulfill the second mitzvah. Even if for a very limited amount of time, but nevertheless, the first mitzvah, as long as it holds on to the mizbeach of his askus b'mitzvah, that gives it a din kedima, which says you cannot drop by his askus, even for one short moment, then he's not chayiv in the mitzvah pruta de Rav Yosef to give a pruta to the Ani. The same thing in the case of digging a koch. In digging a koch, you'll have to put the spade down on the ground, interrupt your his askus b'kvura in order to recite Kriyat Shema. That momentary hefsek will insult the first mitzvah so far as it has a din kedima. Says Tosfos, when is it efshel l'kayim shteihen? When do we completely null and void the halach of kedima? When you can fulfill both mitzvahs at the same time. Meaning, you don't have to drop or interrupt this askus in the first mitzvah when you do the second mitzvah. In such a case, the first mitzvah has no claim for kedima. Kol shehischil is asik b'mitzvah, din kedima monea chalos chovas mitzvah cheres. Papa medvar mamurim kisha mitzvah hashniya. When does the first mitzvah gain the status of kedima? When the first mitzvah says, no, you can't be chayav to be misaseik, to be osek in two mitzvahs at the same time. Why? Because in this situation, you started with one mitzvah, you're obligated in that mitzvah to the extent that that mitzvah requires his askus continuously, which precludes a second mitzvah, you're part of from the second mitzvah. The Ritva is right. When the Ritva says that the second mitzvah is a reshus, he can't make a bracha and he can't be motzi achem, he's right. Because insofar as the din kedima goes, is activated, it completely prevents a second chiyuv from emerging. There's a din p'tur. And the Ritva like Tosus accepts that din p'tur. But only when there's a din kedima. And that din kedima is engendered by the hisaskus in the first mitzvah, which precludes a chiyuv hisaskus in the second mitzvah, because he can't do this askus of two mitzvahs simultaneously, unless he takes a break from the first mitzvah, interrupts it, and halacha is that that his askus continues and demands full attention to the extent to which you can't take a break. If you don't have to take a break, if you can fulfill the mitzvah with the right hand and the other mitzvah with the left hand, so then there's no claim of kedima. We're not insulting the first mitzvah by adding his askus to the second mitzvah. But to take a break, to interrupt the first mitzvah, for the sake of the second mitzvah, that you don't have to do. It's memela comes out that according to Tosfos, when osik v'mitzvah potem mitzvah chimes in, for example, a person is osik v'tzarchei tzibur, he's out there in the fields, you know, he's out there standing in front of the Moshe El Ha'ir and negotiating how much money we need to get together in order to redeem this prisoner. We're not going to ask him to take a break, because his askus does not allow him at that moment to start reciting Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema would derail him from his involvement in Tzarchei Tzibur. And to that extent, the Din Kedima clocks in, and once it kicks in, you're potter from the second mitzvah, and if we could paskin like the Drisha, and there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin, because you would never chayv in tefillah to begin with. Counsel on the Ran, and he says no. The Ran says, his askus b'mitzvah in generates Allah in the Gavra. The source of Osek b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah, and its root is not in the mitzvah per se, meaning mitzvah A, it's in the Gavra. It engenders a p'tur Gavra. That p'tur Gavra, which is established by the hisaskus b'mitzvah. Look at the words osek b'mitzvah. Osek is a verb that describes an individual. The Gavra is an osek b'mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah now becomes like an adjective. It is a title that we bestow upon the person who's involved in a mitzvah, as long as you're osek mitzvah. Again, you're wearing tefillin, that's not called osek b'mitzvah. But to the extent in which you're osek b'mitzvah, you have a chal shem gavra. And that chal shem gavra prevents any other mitzvah from becoming obligatory. There's no chalos chiv at all. And therefore it makes no difference whether it's efshel l'kayim shteim or not. As long as you have an askus b'mitzvah, the gavra is called osek b'mitzvah. He's a gavra hapotem in a mitzvah. By the way, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that he's a, you know, there's something called a la bar chiyuva, you know, like a cut and a cheresh. No, I didn't mean that. I mean he's a bar chiyuva. But in terms of now, the second mitzvah, he's a la bar chiyuva. Meaning now he's potem. Is Mimela, we understand very well the nafkamina between the Ran and Tosus. Tosus would say, well, I can do both mitzvahs without taking an interruption. If I can do both mitzvahs without interrupting the first Isaskus, then I'm chayav, because the Din Kedima doesn't have a right to scream, hey, I want to preclude another chiyuv, when that chiyuv in no way impinges on the first mitzvah. The Ran would say that it's not the first mitzvah that's crying out. It's the Gavra who's osek b'mitzvah, who now is endowed with the status of being potter min ha-mitzvahs. That's the din, according to the Ran, of osek mitzvah, potter mitzvah. He cannot be chayav in a second mitzvah. And at this point, Rav Osa, we want to study an insight of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, in his Kovet Shiurim, there in Sukkah. And this you'll see on the bottom of your page 6 going on to page 7, which is the second page going on to the third page. Rabbi Yonah in Brachos says the following, that if a person is burying the dead, actually he's not burying the dead yet, he's actually digging the grave, or if a person is involved in Nichum Avelim, he's consoling the bereaved, in such a case, we have to determine whether or not these mitzvos are da'oraisa, in order to implement the principle of osek b'mitzvah potem na'mitzvah. And we're not sure exactly, let's take for example the case of Nichum Avelim, and we can apply the same yardstick to Kfirus HaMes, we're not sure what the status of that mitzvah is. The Rambam is very ambiguous, both in Sefer HaMitzvah Sharash Aleph, and also in Perek Yudal Milchus Avil. On the one hand, the Rambam calls these mitzvahs midirei sof, midirabbanan. On the other hand, he calls them v'yahavta l'reach kamocha. They're included under a mitzvah d'oraisa. So we don't know exactly their status. But the nafka mina is a great one, because the achronim want to know whether osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah applies in the case of a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Meaning, if the first mitzvah that you picked up is only derabbanan, does that mitzvah derabbanan have the power to knock off a second mitzvah, which is d'oraisa? And Rebbe Chanan points to this Rabbeinu Yonah, who says in his commentary on Brachos that we're not sure what the status of Chafiras Kever and Nichum Avelim, we're not sure if those are d'oraisa or not. The Ran seems to assume that they are d'oraisa, and therefore they would exempt you from mitzvahs like Kriyat Shema. However, we're not sure that all Rishonim would agree. So let's take a case of Nichum Avelim according to those Rishonim who maintain that that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Would you apply the principle of Osek b'mitzvah or Potem in a mitzvah? L'chora, it depends on the machlokas between the Ran and Tosus. See if you can anticipate what's going to happen here. Tosus again is going with the din of Kedima, that the first mitzvah has rights to knock off the second mitzvah. The Ran goes with the principle of Gavra. Why is the Gavra potter? Because he's osek b'tzarchei shamayim. He's osek b'mitzvah. You guessed it. According to Tosus, who says that a mitzvah d'rabbanan has the kedima power to claim that you have no right to become chayim in a second mitzvah? The second mitzvah is that much greater than the first mitzvah. If the second mitzvah is d'oraisa, it dwarfs the first mitzvah, which is only d'rabbanan, and therefore we should come to the conclusion in Rabbi Chanan's frame of reference that in such a case we suspend the principle of osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. However, if we go with the Ran, the Ran who says that if I'm called an Osek b'mitzvah, I become potem in a mitzvah, because the Torah says b'shivtecha means sheves didach as opposed to sheves shel mitzvah. Even a mitzvah d'rabbanan has a chalushay mitzvah in a Torah. The Torah commands us to fulfill mitzvahs d'rabbanan. You could say that mitzvah d'rabbanan in some sense is inferior in status, it's lower case in relative to a mitzvah d'oraisa, but you can't say that he's not an osek b'mitzvah. The gavra is certainly an osek b'mitzvah. And then we have another question, which is also addressed by the Achronim, the Shagas Aryeh, the Imre Bina, and others, and that is, what happens if I'm in a situation of a suffek mitzvah? I don't know if I'm chayev or not chayev. I did already implement the mitzvah, I did not. So the Torah says, suffik d'oraisa l'chum. But nevertheless, the mitzvah that are now implementing is only a suffik mitzvah. One could question, perhaps in the case of a suffik mitzvah, does osek b'mitzvah potem mitzvah apply if we go with the Tosus' yardstick that there's halacha here of kedima? I don't think that you can give kedima to a mitzvah which is only a suffik, as opposed to a mitzvah which is vadai. A suffek mitzvah, even though I have to be machmir, it doesn't have the same weight and the same status as a vaday mitzvah. So I'm going to forfeit a vaday mitzvah for the sake of a suffek mitzvah? Meaning what we're saying is that within the context of Tosfos, who's operating within Kedima, and the halacha of osek b'mitzvah, and hears in the mitzvah itself, and its rights, and its privileges, its status as a mitzvah to demand that there should be no simultaneous chiyuv imposed upon him, that makes sense if the mitzvah is of status, if the mitzvah is only derabbanan, or the mitzvah is only a suffek, then it pales in comparison to the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah dwarfs the first mitzvah. It's a doraisa versus a drabbanan. It's like Goliath and David. Or, for example, the second mitzvah is vaday and the first mitzvah is only suffering. Then we could say that even that Tosfos would have to say that the first mitzvah would have to step aside and say to the second mitzvah, all right, you take over. I'm out of here. I got to tip my hat in your favor. And therefore, the din kedima falls off, and we do not apply osik mitzvah potemitz. But if we go with the Ran, that the Ran says osik b'mitzvah means that anyone who's an osik b'mitzvah, not someone who's wearing tefillin, who's passive, but someone who's actively involved in mitzvah, says the Ran, is automatically a gavra potter. He's potter as a gavra from other mitzvahs. Then who cares if that mitzvah that he picked up and he's involved and dedicated to his derais and derabbanan, even a mitzvah derabbanan, has the chal shem of a mitzvah? He's osik b'tzarchei shamayim. It's not sheves d'day. It's, and in the case of a suffek mitzvah, since nevertheless the halachic requirement is to implement that mitzvah, then you're considered an osik b'mitzvah, you're a gavra osik b'mitzvah, and you're potter min mitzvah. And finally, just to wrap things up, we want to look at another chiddush of the Ritva. That's in the middle of your page 7, which is the third page I sent you. And that's the Ritva in Kiddush on Daf Lamed Beis. The Ritva says that if you began the first mitzvah, Hischil Ba, and the first mitzvah that you picked up is a mitzvah she'efshal asosa al yedei achir. It's not critical that you implement the mitzvah. You can appoint an agent who can implement the mitzvah for you on your behalf. Says the Ritva. Nevertheless, even though it's efshal asosa al yedei achirim, once he picks up the first mitzvah, he's potter from the second mitzvah. And the question is, if we get back to the sugyan brachos of the grave diggers, the Gemara says over there that even though the grave digger, the chofer kuch lemes, is potter from kriyat shema and tefillah and so forth, but nevertheless, if there are two people working in cahoots and they both belong to the same chevra kadisha, then they could take turns and they could say, well, you know what? Let's get to a certain point. We'll both stop, or one of us will stop, the other one will continue. Let's say I'll stop and I'll say Kriyat Shema, get back to digging the grave. You'll take a break, say Kriyat Shema, and go back to digging the grave. And that's exactly what they have to do. The Gemara establishes they have to split it up in such a way with a Taranut system. And given that rotation, both of them will have to recite Kriyat Shema and daven. But wait a minute, the Ritva just finished telling us that even if the mitzvah could be done by someone else, in this case, for example, true, I can have the other grave digger dig for me, and the mitzvah will be completed, but nevertheless, osik mitzvah, potter mitzvah. Once I started the mitzvah, I'm potter in a mitzvah according to the Ritva. So why should we obligate these two grave diggers to set up a rotation system? It doesn't make any sense. But the answer perhaps is that digging a grave, as important as it is not a mitzvah. What it is machshire mitzvah. It is a preparatory stage, literally to prepare the ground. You know, that's an idiomatic phrase, but here it fits literally, to prepare the ground for kvura. Do we apply the principle of osek b'mitzvah potter min mitzvah in the case of osek b'machshirei mitzvah? And perhaps we could find a paradigm example and make an analogy in the famous Gemara in Brachos of Chasan v'Kala. Chasan potter b'kriyat shma. Why? Because he's marrying a woman who was never married before. Hakones es ha'pasula potter b'kriyat shma. Why? He's not osik b'mitzvah. And the Gemara establishes that he's tarud tirda the mitzvah. He's very preoccupied. Again, if he decides that he can take a break from all his thoughts about the mitzvah birishona and he can say Kriyat Shema with all the kavanah, fine, let him do so. But right now he's in a state of tirda. This halach of tirda is fundamentally different than osek b'mitzvah potam in a mitzvah. For example, we saw in the Ritva that osek b'mitzvah potam in a mitzvah means if you go ahead and you drop the first mitzvah, the second mitzvah is meaningless. Not so in the case of Torah b'tirda the mitzvah. There, if he opts for the alternative of dropping of overcoming his tirda the mitzvah, and he picks up the second mitzvah, he certainly gets a full reward for the second mitzvah. Tirda the mitzvah is more like ones. We go back to the concept of the stipler, whereas the stipler wanted to identify Tosis as sheet of osek b'mitzvah and define it as honest, we were unwilling to do so. We defy the sheet of Tosa Osik B'mitzvah is halacha p'tur, it's not just an honest. But there is one category of a quasi Osik B'mitzvah, not a real Osik B'mitzvah, where the principle and the loveness of honest fits like a glove. That's called Torah Tirda the Mitzvah. To the extent in which my Tirda the Mitzvah knocks me out of the box that I can't concentrate on Tefillah and Kriyat Shema, to that extent I'm an honest. And if that be the case, Rabosai, perhaps we could say, in the light of the Ritva, that this halacha of tirda applies even to machshirei mitzvah. Meaning, technically, you can't say I'm osek b'mitzvah, there's no din of kedima here, because I'm only preparing the grave. It's only a preparatory stage, it's a hechsher mitzvah. But what halacha does apply here? The halacha of tirda. If the halacha of tirda kicks in, it's not really osek b'mitzvah, then I understand the Gemara and Brachos Daf Yud Dalet about the two grave diggers. Let them do a rotation. The tirda of preparing for the mitzvah of kfura, of heksher mitzvah kfura, by digging the grave, is a tirda which, unlike his askus b'mitzvah, does not engender a new halacha p'tur. Either on the Kedima or the Ran's definition of Tur. What it does engender is halach of Tirda, of Anus. Says the Gemara, there's no Anus here. We can have a cake and eat it. We can fulfill the Heksher Mitzvah, prepare the grave for burial, and at the same time we can fulfill the Mitzvah of Tefillah and Kriyat Shema, etc., because we can have a rotation system. When does the Ritva say that Osek B'Mitzvah, Potem and Mitzvah applies even if it's Efshal L'Kayim Al Yidei Acherim? And we thought that therefore we should apply that to the case of the grave to his name. That only applies in a case of osek b'mitzvah where he's actually involved in a mitzvah per se. For example, if he's involved in burying the dead, actual burial, then we're going to say osek b'mitzvah, potter mitzvah, even if he could send another member of the Chevra Kadisha to bury the dead. But the Sugin Brachos is not addressing the case of burying the dead, but rather of preparing the place, the plot for burial. That's called a Heksher Mitzvah. That's an introduction to a mitzvah. Technically, he's not osek b'mitzvah. We cannot operate neither with the definition of Tosfos of Osek B'mitzvah in terms of Kedima. We cannot operate with the Ran's definition of a Gavru who's Osek B'mitzvah. He's not Osek B'mitzvah. Here, if it's Efshel L'Kayim Shteihem, we completely vitiate the halacha of Tirda. Why? Because Tirda is halacha of Onus. Tirda is halacha of, I'm so tarud, I can't fulfill the mitzvah. Oh, you're tarud. You have a buddy over here. Let the two partners work it out in such an arrangement that they take turns. And with that rotation system, each one will be able to fulfill his obligation. So once again, Rabosai, just to summarize what we've said today, because I think we have to end the shiur, even though there's a heck of a lot more to cover today. But maybe you'll decide that you want to continue another time and complete this project. The osik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah lends itself to two different definitions, the nafka mina of which is efshal l'kayim shteyen. We saw the Ritva who says that if it's efshal l'kayim shteyen, you chayv in both. We suspend the principle of osik b'mitzvah. Yet, paradoxically, it's the Ritva himself who says that the second chiv is not chal. Therefore, we have to assume that even according to the sheet of Tosfos / Ritva, that be efshal l'kayim shteyen, you're chayv in the second mitzvah. Nevertheless, when it's e efshal l'kayim shteyen, the second mitzvah is not chal at all. There's no chiyuv. The p'tur is absolute and complete. The gavra is not chayv. And that's the din of kedima. The Ran goes even a step further. He's willing to say that even if it's efshal l'kayim shteyen, nevertheless you're part from the second mitzvah. As long as you can define yourself and characterize yourself, as an osek b'mitzvah, that his askus b'mitzvah gives you a status of an osek b'mitzvah, shepotim in a mitzvah. I want to thank everyone for joining me today, and if there are any questions, now's a good time to ask. Shkur, thank you so much. Anyone who's available tomorrow night, I mean, again, on my clock, it's tomorrow night, in Mirz Hashem, we'll be studying another sugya called Hidur Mitzvah, a very fascinating sugya. And please let me know if you want to be invited, or maybe you already were invited. I know, Bari, you have to decide which of the two. So I guess if you're here tonight, or for lunch on your clock, that I probably won't see you tomorrow night. But that's okay. I'm not here to make it uncomfortable for you. I just want to offer all the possibilities that we have. So hopefully you got my emails, and some of them are makomos for the Shia tomorrow night on Hidur Mitzvah. If you're interested and you haven't received those marmakomos, kindly send me an email so I'll remember. Don't tell me now, because I probably won't even remember. And that will do tomorrow. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Daniel. I didn't see you. Okay.
I'm only able to come at the end.
Oh, okay. I always say to my Talmidim, you come in the last 2 minutes, sometimes you get the whole shiur. In this case, I don't know, but you certainly got more than what, you know, you got the majority. Okay, Rabbosai, we're going to stop here.